I'm going to invite Alan Sharon. If we can give him a round of applause. We have a lot of new people since they were here last, and so I'm going to introduce them a little bit. These are my spiritual parents, Al, Mary, Breezy, and I. This was my dad's best friend. And so for you guys to be here this morning and to continue to pour into the body is huge for me and this family. So Al and Sharon were the pastors here for 30 years, 25 years in Restoration Fellowship. And they led us from a Bible church to a Spirit-filled Bible church. And yeah, and we're so grateful for that leadership. So this morning, I was talking with them this week. We were in prayer, and actually Jim and I both texted Al during prayer. And just because the Lord had put them on our hearts, and they're like, hey, we'd love to come share what we've been doing, some testimony to encourage the body. So that's what they're here for this morning. So they're going to share a little bit about what they've been doing, where they're going, and hopefully speaking into the body a little bit. And then we're going to do some ministry right after. We want to do some healing. Alan, we're going to get you up here. We're going to keep working out that gift of healing, brother. There's some people that need that. So, yeah, let's give these guys a round of applause, and please give them your attention.
Wow. It is so good to be back here. This is coming home. This is coming home for us. Yes, like Rory mentioned, we were here as pastors for 25 years, and then we stayed another 3 years after Justin and Tara stepped in and just kind of walked through the transition period, and that was an awesome time. It was an awesome time and continued to be. And so as we've been in touch and watching everything that's been going on, it's been so exciting to see that nothing has changed as it relates to what the work of God is in Pagosa Springs through this fellowship. And we're so grateful for it. Yes, give yourself an applause. Yes. It's an amazing testimony of God's grace and mercy. And so what Sharon and I want to do this morning is just share a little bit about what we did after refirement, or in refirement, not retirement. We don't retire, we refire. And we've been refiring now for 10 years. It's been 10 years since Justin and Tara stepped in. And so it's an awesome 10-year anniversary for us to be here and just share some things as to what God is doing. Sharon.
I want to echo that. We are so grateful to be here, and it's really nice to be back home. We miss you, and you all have a very special place in our hearts. And we keep in touch through emails and personal friends of what's going on here, and we continue to pray for you. As Alan mentioned, actually in August, it'll be the 10-year anniversary of when he passed the baton, and we decided to go into refirement. We said we're not going to retire, but we're going to refire. And the Lord has been so faithful. But he allowed us to stay here, which was awesome. We loved it. And then in January, that was in 2015, in January of 2018, we would usually go to Arizona in January, February to get out of the cold for a few weeks, you know. And we were in Arizona in January of 2018, and the Lord said, go home and sell your house. And we went, oh, okay. And where do we go? But the Lord led us back to Arizona. We came back. It was a challenging move, but the Lord is so faithful. We happen to live halfway between Phoenix and Tucson. I'm just telling you, we've got a guest bedroom. If you're in the area, please let us know. We'd love to meet up with you, have lunch or dinner, or we've got a guest room you can stay in, but we'd love to continue relationships with you. We've continued to build. When we were here, we were involved in, many of you are familiar with Cleansing Stream Ministries, And we continue to be involved in that in Arizona. Not as intense as it was here, thank goodness. But we've been involved in a number of retreats. And last fall, we led a retreat in Cottonwood, Arizona, with Cleansing Stream. And actually, this fall, I'm going to be going back once a month for a number of months to continue training with their ministry team and just to help them with a little more training that they have asked for. Back in 2008, when we were still here, we were introduced to another sister ministry called Restoring the Foundations. And we went through a number of different aspects of their training on ministering to people. It's set up on a one-on-one basis. And so since we've refired, we can deal with that. We can use that on a more regular basis. And the Lord's given us many opportunities to share with people locally there in Arizona. We have people coming from a variety of different states for ministry. And earlier this year, a little bit of a challenge for us was to do the ministry. And it's when we do the long format with a couple, it's 15 hours of ministry with them each personally, and 5 to 6 hours with them together. And so it's an intense time, but we were able to do that online over Zoom with a couple in Switzerland, and it was so precious. Somebody that's involved in ministry there were going through some struggles and just needed some encouragement and help. So I know that we listened to Justin's message from last Sunday when he spoke on deliverance, and it just blessed our heart. We totally agree with him that we all need to really know and understand the authority that Jesus has given us over the enemy and how to stand in that authority and use it effectively. The RTF ministry is based on one-to-one deep Thora ministry, as I said. After an interview, I'm going to just share, because I know that many of you aren't familiar with it, I'm going to briefly share what's involved in it, along with some testimonies that we've noticed of what God has done in people's lives. After an interview, we go into a session we call the generational sins and resulting curses. When somebody in our past generation has sinned, and that sin hasn't been confessed and repented of, Scripture says curses are attached to that. And it's passed down generationally. That's why for some of us, we struggle in certain areas a lot more than somebody else does, because that particular bondage is in our generational line. So we walk people through the freedom. We do a lot of forgiving. Unforgiveness is one of the key blockages to freedom. We do a lot of forgiveness. We walk them through that. And then we move into an area we call ungodly beliefs. An ungodly belief is a thought or a belief that doesn't line up with what God's word says or what God's nature and character is. And guess what? We all have them. We all have those lies. We don't recognize them many times because they seem familiar. We're so used to that thought. A thought particularly that we deal with a lot is, I don't belong. I don't know where I fit. Another thought is, God loves other people more than he does me, because I see God blessing them. He's not blessing me. Those are all ungodly beliefs. And it's so encouraging as we focus on, we come out of agreement with that. We ask God to give a new godly belief. And then we focus on that over and over. It takes time, but that's renewing the mind, according to Romans 12:2. In that session, we look at some false identities. And you go, well, what's a false identity? It's something like some of the things that we hear over and over is, I'm so stupid. I'm not good enough. I'm all alone. I'm a failure. We walk people through coming out of agreement with that false identity, and then they ask the Lord, who do you say I am? And the Lord gives them a true identity. Just yesterday, we had a ministry follow-up call with a young couple that we had recently done ministry with from out of state. And as we were visiting, we just asked, so what are you seeing that's different? What has changed? And the young man said, one of my false identities was that I'm all alone. And he grew up in a very difficult home situation. He said, but the true identity that the Lord gave me was I'm chosen. And he said, I'm starting to see what a difference that's made in my life. As I look at something that I'm going to do or how to do it, am I blocking? Okay, thought maybe I was doing something wrong here. As I look at how I do things or what I'm going to do, he says, I now see that I'm chosen for that. And it's changed my perspective as I look at what God has called me to do. What a joy. What a joy to see that happen. In the next session that we lead people through, our ministry receiver simply asks the Holy Spirit to bring them into a memory that needs to be healed. We all have those places where we've been hurt, experiences that have brought a lot of hurt and woundedness into our lives. And so the Lord very gently comes in, brings healing to those hurtful memories, those hurtful emotions, and puts out his truth that replaces that. We ministered to a gentleman that was born out of wedlock, grew up in a home with a lot of abuse, a lot of yelling, fighting. He felt very insecure and unsafe. And through that, he developed an orphan heart and began to believe, I'm always abandoned and I'm always going to be rejected. And as he received ministry during this time, the Lord just brought healing and truth into his heart. And he's shared with us since then. He said, what a difference that's made. He said, my relationships are different. He said, I see people different now than I did before. I always thought they were going to reject me, so I would hold them at a distance. But he said it's made such a difference, even in his own marriage, and he had a good marriage. But he said, it's even made a difference in my marriage. We have a 3-chord stronghold that we often use, and it's called shame, fear, control. We ministered to a young man who grew up in a very difficult home. Lots of abuse, lots of fighting, lots of arguing. And in order to cope, he started using alcohol at a young age. And then as he continued that addiction, some of the results were that he had a lot of false accusations that were labeled on him, which caused a lot of damage. The shame of all of that caused him to isolate himself, to hide. And then as we carry shame with us, fear comes along and says, well, I can help you with that. What if people find out? Oh, yeah. So I need to control now my environment so that nobody will find out. As we do that, guess what happens? We become a pretend person. And God can't have a relationship with a pretend person. And so God wants to bring healing. And as this gentleman received that healing from the shame, the fear, and the control, what a difference it's made. He would never initiate conversation with somebody because he was afraid to get too close. Now he initiates those conversations and he goes out and he's a different person. It's been such a joy to see what God's done in his life. And then we move into the final session where we get rid of those demons. Why do you want to hang on to them? And guess what? By then, the legal rights have been removed. And I like to say they are on that slippery mountain because that mountain is covered with the Holy Spirit oil. And they don't have a chance but to slide off of that and to go to where Jesus sends them. What a joy. One of my favorite verses that I love using during that time is found in Philippians 2:10. It says that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven, of those on earth, and of those under the earth. Now, does that cover everything? Absolutely. And so I repeat that to those foul spirits and say, okay, foul spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus to bow your knee and leave. Get out. And they have to go to where Jesus sends them. Those foul spirits can't be in our spirit because the Holy Spirit lives there. And he doesn't allow cohabitation. But they're in our soul. What's our soul? It's our mind. It's what we think. It's our emotions. It's what we feel. It's our will. It's what we choose. That's where they set up camp. Because that's where the hurts, the hurtful experiences have happened. And what a delight and what a joy it is to see people set free from those bondages. As long as those bondages are there, we're kept from fulfilling the destiny that God has planned and invested in our lives. And it's such a joy to see God set people free. You know, years ago, the Lord gave us a prophetic word. Years ago. And he said, the prophetic word was, your tent pegs are going to be expanded. We see that over and over and over as we minister to people. We become mom and dad to more and more people. Our tent pegs have been expanded. Thank you.
Thank you, Sharon. That's what we do. It's an amazing opportunity for us every single day. I want, Alan, if you would please, post that verse of scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. I just want, in closing, just share this verse of scripture with you to bring encouragement to the body this morning, because this is so important. It's a verse of scripture, and this is in the Passion Translation, but it's a verse of scripture that we, many of us, have memorized in several different other translations. But Brian Simmons did an awesome job in the translation of this. And the whole issue is not so much temptation as it relates to doing what is wrong, but it is an actual test that God brings into our lives that he brings fulfillment through. Let's read it out loud together. We all have experienced times of testing, which is normal for every human being, but God will be faithful to you. Let's go on. Finish the verse. Is that it? How about verse 12? Let's look at verse 12 if we could. While he's bringing that up, our primary focus in this verse of scripture is that even our view of God gets bigger when our focus is on him. And here's the key. In this particular context, the nation of Israel had chosen to go against the work and will of God. And so as a result, there was conflict constantly. And hundreds and thousands of people died because of their disobedience. But here's the key. When God brings us through a test, there's always something that comes out on the other side that is far, far, far better. And maybe at another time when there might be an opportunity for me to come back, and I'll just share with you more about this whole subject. But God is so faithful in giving to us that place of responsibility and goodness. Here we have it. We all experience times of testing, which is normal for every human being. But God will be faithful to you. And this is the key phrase I was looking for. He will screen and filter the severity, the nature, and timing of every test or trial you face so that you can bear it. Let me repeat that. He will screen and filter the severity and nature and timing of every test or trial that you face so that you can bear it. Screen and filter. Get those two words. That's what God does. I'll give you just a real quick testimony. In March the 10th of 2023, I went in for a pacemaker. The doctor said, it's now. You need one. My heart rate had dropped to sometimes 28 to 30. And so he was saying, you know what? You need some help. And so I went in for that. But as a result of that, he discovered four blockages in my heart. I had open heart surgery, four blocks replaced. So here's the point. That was a test for me, a huge test. And so as a result of all of that, God has given to me a new sense of awesomeness of his character and nature, because I refuse to give in to anything less than his nature and character in working out what he needed to work out in my life, passing the test. So that's what it's all about. That's what life is all about, to pass the test that God has given to us to walk through. Roy.